about it. Jess and I tackled it. She's my little helper. She's great. She's talented.
Talent. And you know who else was talented?
Oh, tell me. Gosh. Tell me who. Tell me who.
Do it.
Agent Holmes.
No. Oh. Don't do it. Yes. I already did it. Don't.
I already did it.
Don't do it.
And welcome back to Five's a Crowd.
Oh, God.
An artiste.
And we're off to a great start.
I already started it.
I love it.
I'm coming in blind to this.
So am I.
I am too.
I was supposed to help co-host this one.
And you didn't.
And I am not.
Nope.
Okie dokie.
All right.
So
I was surprised you took that on because you don't. Do you like this stuff?
Well, no. I do, but I don't.
Yeah, I don't.
And so I don't know. I kind of thought it would be fun, but I had planned to do my research while I was working on the basement, but Jess does not like murdery dark stuff. So I couldn't listen to any informational podcast or anything about this senor we're going to learn about tonight ahead of time.
Yeah, it makes me feel gross.
Yeah, it's kind of heavy stuff.
Well,
but
be prepared to feel gross.
I will be. I'm in for the ride. I told you.
Disclaimer.
Yeah.
Zach is hosting. That's Zach's the only hosting. Disclaimer you need.
So, I am hosting a murder podcast.
Are there any videos?
So. No videos.
The moment you click
cameras.
On,
I'm just kidding.
The moment you click onto one of our episodes and see Zach's hosting, just know, put your headphones in.
Run away.
Your earbuds.
Yeah.
Don't.
Yeah.
We'll That's see. Not always true.
Jury's still out on that one.
That's my line.
Oh, sorry. You say it.
Just kidding. What is going on?
Okay, go.
All right. Anywho, welcome back to Five's the Crowd. Tonight, if you haven't figured it out, we are talking about H.H. Holmes. But before we get into that, I would like to introduce you to your five best friends that anybody could have.
Tissue?
Yes, I stumbled my words, but I went well with it.
Introduce you.
Does that mean we're getting a shower? Or
You're getting a douche.
It smells like a spring flower.
I can't what say is it now.
Introducing.
We broke him.
I can't do
the
it.
Five the Crowd
introduce
podcast.
You to the five best friends that anybody can have.
Grapefruit's an interesting choice.
I got Tony.
Hello.
Austin.
Hey.
Chris and Cam.
Hey.
And myself, Zach. As Austin said earlier, disclaimer, this is going to be a fun conversation.
How fast are we flying off this cliff? Like, next two sentences, or is it like we got a little bit of buildup?
I need a drink.
So, we're just going for it.
Okay.
No. We're going to slowly go into it. I'm going to.
Timeline?
That's going to kind of. Yeah.
Did he?
That slow timeline, you know, kind of introduce you to who he was and gosh. All that stuff.
Cam's doing research. Cam's going to help you co host.
Yeah.
ChatGPT is just a fantastic tool.
I know it is.
I asked it how he killed his victims, and it gave me a list.
Oh my gosh.
I was curious, and it worked.
Oh, my gosh.
Okay. I'm bearing down.
All right. So, H.H. Holmes, technically America's first, in quotation marks, serial killer.
Oh, he was America's first?
Is what he is labeled as.
Supposedly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's why I use quotations, but yeah, supposedly okay. America's first serial killer. He was born May 16th, 1861 as Herman Webster. What the hell is going on over there?
I just told ChatGPT to give me a detailed timeline of H.H. Holmes' life and crimes.
Oh, okay.
Oh my God.
I'm here for you.
Thanks,
I'll
Cam.
Fill in the gaps.
Yeah, fill in
he's
the gaps
our,
as we
he's
go.
Our Jamie.
I just did my research.
I love it.
Our Jamie Palomino.
So he was born May 16th, 1861, as Herman Webster Mudgett.
Mudgett?
Mudgett. In Gilmanton, New Hampshire. Growing up, he faced a bunch of bullying by classmates due to his outstanding academic
abilities. Oh, don't defend him.
Outstanding academic ability?
Yeah. He's a pretty smart guy.
He was said to be an intelligent child, but displayed signs of sociopathic behavior from a young age.
Oh, yeah. In one incident.
Oh, dear.
He was forced to stand in front of a human skeleton and put the skeleton's hands on his face in an effort to frighten him. Initially terrified, Holmes later discovered that the experience to be intriguing and claimed that it helped him overcome his worries. Holmes subsequently developed an obsession with death as a result of the encounter and later took up the pastime of dissecting animals.
So
it's always where it starts.
Right?
It sounds like the worst Disney movie to date so far.
What?
So I'm just kidding.
Oh.
As if Disney made this movie.
Right? Oh, okay. All right.
Picturing it. Yeah. But well, so the hands. So like was someone bullying him or was it like a teacher?
Where did they get the skeleton?
Was it a real skeleton?
It said a human skeleton.
Yeah, it was a human skeleton.
I guess back in the 1800s they wouldn't have plastic skeletons.
So it didn't
Did they have a black market?
I couldn't really find out where it was, but it was just an incident that he had growing up. So I'm assuming it was, because I know...
Some kind of biology class.
He went to school eventually to be a cadaver. And I'll,
to be a cadaver? To
stutter. He was the cadaver.
The end.
Dude, I can't do my words tonight. Holy crap.
Words are hard.
They are very hard. Words are hard. Not any painkillers tonight, surprisingly.
I get you, man. Words are hard.
It's okay.
I love this.
We're here.
He did deal with a lot of cadavers and everything, like after school and stuff, like when he went into college and everything.
Okay, so he wanted to be like a medical doctor or something. Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's just one point in his life, like he was forced to put these human skeleton hands on his face.
Gross.
And that's what changed his life for the better.
So when you think you're bullying somebody, you could just be opening a gateway to a serial killer.
Yep.
Yeah.
You sure could.
Okay.
So Holmes's proclivity for criminal activity, that rhymed, became readily apparent during his college years.
Holmes' proclivity
for criminal activity. So while he was enrolled in medical school,
this is how we keep it light.
Dude, this guy just...
Is this going to get dark?
Yeah.
It's not going to get light.
Right.
It's going to get heavy.
It's going to get a lot darker before it gets light.
There we go. While enrolled in medical school, Holmes stole cadavers from the laboratory, burned or disfigured them, and then planted the bodies, making it look as if they had been killed in an accident. The scandal behind it was that Holmes would take out insurance policies on these people before planting the bodies and would collect money once the bodies were discovered.
Hustling.
That's genius, man.
Wow.
They're dead already.
Hey, so I've got a plan for us to make some money.
It's a victimless crime.
That's right.
Who's in?
I'm down.
Might as well.
Hustle culture.
So during...
It's a rough economy.
During this time, it didn't really go into like more detail or anything like that. But during that time, he was actually married, found a wife and everything. And then in 1880...
He found a wife.
Found a wife.
At the morgue?
Somewhere.
He found one. He just happened upon one.
Happenstance.
You are a squirrel.
Stop it all. I love it.
Every time I look over, I just see lines, go.
I love this podcast so far. This might be one of my favorites. This is great. I am laughing constantly.
What'd you pull up over there, Cam? Zach.
I was just asking, you know, what a list of all his crimes were.
Okay.
Insurance fraud.
Forgery, theft, embezzlement, kidnapping, murder, and conspiracy to commit murder.
So that's later in his life.
We'll get to that.
Yep. We'll get to that stuff.
Cliff notes.
So in 1885, so he actually moved to Chicago.
So this was 2 years before we became a nation.
Well,
no.
Oh, wait. No, no, no. That is I was not thinking correct. 1887. No. 1776. Never mind.
Wow.
So, wait, this was only 200 years ago.
1885?
No.
Yeah.
1887?
1885.
Well, that was, I mean, less than 100. Like, no, that was like 1885
to 1985 was 100 years ago.
121, depending on the month.
I guess so. We're about
100. Less than 150. It's late.
140 years.
let's just let him read. Oh, yeah, you know, and not what? Do math.
We've got, that's two people ago.
There you go.
I was trying to do the person thing.
Are you looking in your microscope?
That's two people ago.
Yep.
Okay.
Just, you know. So in 1885, he moved to Chicago, and he basically abandoned his wife. Just
left her?
Just left her. Just
rude. About.
In Chicago or where?
Where he was from beforehand.
Oh, okay. And he left her there,
yeah,
went to Chicago.
Yeah, just basically left her there, went to Chicago. Started a new life, and that is where he actually took over the name or alias of Dr. Henry H. Holmes.
Mm. Did they have alimony back then?
I don't think so.
I'm just wondering.
That's an honest question.
Intrusive thoughts.
I mean, even if they did, he would have to know where the guy's at to get paid.
They couldn't garnish his wages or anything.
I guess.
So, but
Cam,
they didn't exist. They did exist in various forms in the United States in 1885. However, the concept and practice of alimony during that time was quite different from modern standards. In the 19th century, alimony was primarily awarded to wives, as they were often financially dependent on their husbands and had limited opportunities for employment. It was typically granted only under specific circumstances, such as cases where the wife was deemed deserving of support due to her husband's misconduct or failure to provide financial support.
Wonderful. So, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
But you still have to know where he's at and get the money from him.
100%. So she dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
And she was still okay.
Pretty much, yeah, because she could have gotten killed.
Yes.
Right.
That's what I meant.
Could have gotten
suicided. She could have literally dodged a bullet.
Yeah.
I don't think that was his forte.
She ran away?
Nope, it wasn't his forte.
It was not.
Foreshadowing. Foreshadowing.
Okay.
So he, once he gets into Chicago, he ends up getting a job at a pharmacy. Hmm. The owner of the drugstore actually passes away, and he took over the responsibility of the drugstore. So, but it was still owned by the owner's widow. So he actually convinced the widow to let him buy the store. The widow soon went missing and was never seen again. Holmes claimed that she moved to California, but this could never be verified.
Mm. Was this potentially his first victim?
Potentially.
Mm.
Potentially. So he buys this pharmacy. He runs it for a couple of years. After he had become the owner of the drugstore, he ended up purchasing an empty lot across the street. He designed and built a three-story hotel, which the neighborhood called the Castle. During its 1889 construction, Holmes hired and fired several construction crews so that no one would have a clear idea of what he was doing. He was designing basically a murder castle.
Oh,
after construction was complete in 1891, so 2 years of construction, Holmes placed ads in newspapers offering jobs for young women and advertised the castle as a place of lodging. He also placed ads presenting himself as a wealthy man looking for a wife.
No way.
Oh my gosh.
A murder castle?
Yeah.
So he was... So he built this hotel already with the intention of going nuts.
It's a slaughterhouse.
Pretty much, yeah.
Slaughterhouse.
Yeah. And this was before he even killed anyone.
Mm-hmm.
God. Oh my gosh.
Well, potentially.
Well, minus what's the drugstore. Allegedly.
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 Allegedly. Well, that's, he got the itch.
So this guy, he's like premeditating being a serial killer.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Like, I feel like most serial killers, it starts with one and then it's like, hey, I kind of liked that, so I'm going to do it again.
He's chasing
and then again.
The
and then it's like, but this guy, he's like planning on it. Like, hey, I'm going to do a lot of people.
But here's the thing. Back then, he may have killed many people and not had any documentation of it.
Yeah.
Like,
he could have already have. Yeah.
They didn't have internet. Well, to put it in perspective, it is believed that he killed anywhere between 9 to 200 people.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Holy dang.
That's a large variable.
That is a wide birth.
I feel like you could
give her a wide birth.
I go into it. You have a better thing.
A description of
the murder castle. I go into it a little bit. Read off the description of what the rooms were like. And this is why he hired and fired so many people, so no one could really have a full understanding
of
what was going on in that place.
Really? Nobody could put the pieces together.
Yeah, yep. Exactly.
So as far as its size and appearance, it was a large labyrinth structure spanning an entire city block. It consisted of a sprawling maze of hallways, rooms, and hidden passages designed to disorient and trap victims.
An entire city block?
Yeah.
Is it still standing?
Yeah. No. It's long gone. There's no architectural.
I hate it when they destroy history.
Blueprints or plans. Yeah, right? I mean, I think they had a good reason. It's basically a tomb.
Holy cow.
It was equipped with numerous sinister features, including soundproof rooms, secret passages, trap doors, hidden staircases. These elements allowed him to move undetected through the building and facilitate his crimes without raising suspicion.
He studied Roman history.
Yeah.
Wow.
Torture chambers. Within the murder castle were rooms specifically designed for torture and murder. These chambers were outfitted with instruments of torture, including surgical tools, restraints, and devices for asphyxiation or suffocation.
Oh my gosh.
He installed gas lines throughout the building, allowing him to pump lethal gases into certain rooms and chambers. Victims would be asphyxiated by the poisonous fumes, ensuring a silent and discreet method of murder. The building featured chutes and trap doors that Holmes would use to dispose the bodies discreetly.
Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, that's what I thought of.
Yep.
Corpses would be dropped down these chutes into the basement, where they would be incinerated in a large furnace or dissected for medical experiments. Despite its ominous nickname, the Murder Castle outwardly appeared to be a legitimate hotel and commercial building. It featured amenities such as guest rooms, shops, and businesses on the ground floor.
No way.
Creating a facade of normalcy to conceal Holmes' heinous activities. He would primarily lure young women and travelers visiting the World's Fair. He would offer them lodging in the hotel, where they would meet untimely meet their demise at his hands.
All right, stop there.
Wow.
So, he would have guests then, or would he do it one at a time?
Well, the rooms were soundproof.
Yeah.
I guess that's my point. Like, could you be thinking that you're staying in a regular hotel and he has guests throughout the whole thing, but in the meantime, he's going room to room to kill people?
They said it was like a labyrinth. It's like a human mousetrap.
So he would have rooms. This is how, like, ominous. That he was. So he would have legit rooms. So he'd go and, like, buy furniture on credit, all this stuff. And then these people would come back because he wouldn't make his payments or whatever. They'd come to repo the furniture, but he'd put it in these rooms and you could never find the rooms. Like, they would legit just look like a wall.
Wow.
And so he'd be like, I don't have this furniture. I don't know what you're talking about. Well, we show you. No, I don't have this. So then they'd leave and then he'd be able to open it up and there you go.
So you'd
trap people there and you'd have no clue. Like where it was,
or they'd come to repo it, and he would repo them.
Mm-hmm. So we'll kind of get into that. All of Holmes' employees, hotel guests, fiancés, and wives were required to have life insurance policies. Holmes paid the premiums as long as they listed him as the beneficiary.
Doesn't sound sketch,
right?
Farming.
Most of his fiancés and wives would suddenly disappear, as did many of his employees and guests. People in the neighborhood eventually reported that they saw many women enter the castle, but would never see them exit. In 1893, Chicago was given the honor of hosting the World's Fair, a cultural and social event, to celebrate the 400th anniversary of Columbus's discovery of America. The event was scheduled from May to October and attracted millions of people from all over the world. When Holmes heard that the World's Fair was coming to Chicago, he looked at it as an opportunity. He knew many visitors would be searching for lodging near the fair and believed many of them would be women whom he could easily seduce into staying at the hotel. After being lured into the hotel, many of these out-of-town visitors would never be seen again. The first floor of the castle had several stores. The two upper levels contained Holmes' office and other and over 100 rooms that were used as living quarters.
Oh, my gosh.
Some of these rooms were, like we talked about, soundproof and contained gas lines so that Holmes could asphyxiate his guests whenever he felt like it. Throughout the building, there were trap doors, peepholes, stairways that led to nowhere, and chutes that led into the basement. The basement was designed as Holmes' own lab, and it had a dissecting table, a stretching rack, and a crematory.
A stretching rack.
Sometimes he would send the bodies down the chute, dissect them, strip them of their flesh, and sell them as human skeleton models to medical schools. In other cases, he would choose to cremate or place the bodies into pits of acid.
Oh my gosh, man. What the heck?
Yeah. Dude was a freak. So he's
selling these skeletons to schools and being like, here you go. Learn off of these. You know.
Wow.
Basically like that. Have you heard of that bodies thing that's been going around? I think they have a...
Oh, the bodies
like,
world?
Like they have a thing in Vegas right now and stuff, but do something like that.
Yeah, it's creepy.
Yeah.
I want to go to it. I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I've heard it's got a weird smell.
It has to.
Formaldehyde.
Yeah, they're all legit real bodies.
Yeah.
Gross. So just donated to science.
Well, like,
then are they donated or were they sold by a serial killer?
They could be sold by a serial killer.
For real.
They could be. Out of curiosity, could you pull up pictures? Do they have pictures of this place?
Yes.
Because like, when you say a murder castle, I'm thinking like a legit stone castle.
No, they've got pictures.
I'm picturing it as a hotel.
But like, I'm curious what it looks like.
Well, it doesn't. Is there that?
Yep. So legit, just a city block, just a.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Just a normal, everyday type place.
Just looking at that picture, but imagining that there's just bodies and people, like, it just sends a chill. I'm like.
Yeah. That looks dark and menacing. That is crazy.
Yeah, it's even creepier. In that 90s CGI.
That shows its aura.
Creepy.
Is that a puzzle?
Oh my gosh.
Yep. Is that a puzzle of Murder Castle?
That's dark.
Oh my gosh. Let's get it. Is that...
Did you say let's get it?
Let's get... I mean, let's get into that. Like, I want to see what's going on in here. We talking like... No way.
That is crazy.
Ew, could you imagine
first escape room?
I was
look
just
at the bodies! Oh. Is that a coat on the wall or is that skin?
That's coat. The bodies look like
H. skin. H.H. Holmes' Murder Castle. Look at this. They got the freaking chutes. Oh my God. Bodies down here. Look at this. What is this? Skeletons?
Yep.
Those are skeletons.
Hours what? Of family
the stretching
fun.
Rack. Oh my gosh.
Hours That's of a family puzzle. Fun.
What a thousand piece puzzle
is this? Oh, it is. But yeah, you can see the street on each side because it's the full block.
Oh, wow.
That is unreal.
Can you imagine someone making an escape room with that theme?
Ugh. And then you die if you don't get out.
Fright. Milton Bradley. Is that who made that?
Whoever makes
that's
the Ouija
freaking
board. That's
weird.
That's crazy, man.
I mean, he looks like a gentleman.
He looks like a normal dude. That's what's so scary about
these people. A mustache.
I mean, that's legit what's so scary about these people is they just look like normal, everyday people.
Listen to this, though. It says, H.H. Holmes is known as the first serial killer in America, but what made him tick? Greed. The murders he committed were not crimes of passion. Nay, they were crimes of financial gain. As many were part of a life insurance schemes and selling of body parts.
Mm-hmm.
How did the insurance company not pick up on this?
Well, they
I don't know.
Kind of do.
It's dying to see him.
Okay.
Get into it.
Wow, so he was only 35 when he died.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
He's right.
That's crazy.
We actually get into that, too.
Okay.
Really? Okay. Sorry.
So, no, you're good.
Who am I playing footsie with?
Me, that was me.
Sorry.
No, that was my bad.
So, to continue on, so he had all his fun there. Sorry, I use fun in quotations.
One of his hands just doesn't work very well.
Yeah. Holmes, he traveled throughout the U.S. committing insurance scams with his accomplice, Benjamin Peitzel. Once the World's Fair had ended, Chicago's economy was in a slump. Therefore, Holmes abandoned the castle and focused on insurance scams, committing random murders along the way. During this time, Holmes stole horses from Texas, shipped them to St. Louis, and sold them, making a fortune.
It's a bold move. They'd hang him for horse thievery.
Really?
Are you being serious?
Yeah, 100%.
Wow.
I mean, it makes sense.
It's a bold move, Cotton.
Let's see how it plays out.
So he just left the murder?
He pretty much just left it. Chicago went to a slump, and he ain't got nobody coming around anymore, so he had to go pick up business elsewhere.
Bless you.
So he ends up selling those horses to St. Louis, makes a fortune. He was arrested for this swindle and actually sent to jail. While in jail, he concocted a new insurance scam with his cellmate, Marion Hedgepeth. Holmes said that he would take out an insurance policy for $10,000, fake his own death, and then provide Hedgepeth with $500 in exchange for a lawyer who could help him if any problems arose. Once Holmes was released from jail on bail, he attempted his plan. However, the insurance company was suspicious and did not pay him. Holmes then decided to attempt a similar plan in Philadelphia. This time, he would have Peitzel, his partner in crime, fake his own death. However, during the scam, Holmes actually killed Peitzel and collected the money for himself.
Wow.
Jeez.
In 1894, Marion Hedgepeth, who was angry that he did not receive any money in the initial scam, told police about the scams Holmes had planned. The police tracked Holmes down, finally catching up to him in Boston, where they arrested him and held him on an outstanding warrant for the Texas horse swindle. At the time of his arrest, Holmes appeared as if he was prepared to flee the country, and police became suspicious of him. Chicago police investigated Holmes' castle, where they discovered his strange and efficient methods for committing torturous murders. Many of the bodies they located were so badly dismembered and decomposed that it was so hard for them to determine exactly how many bodies there really were.
Oh, my gosh.
The police investigation spread through Chicago, Indianapolis, and Toronto. While conducting their own investigation in Toronto, police discovered the bodies of Peitzel children who had gone missing sometime during Holmes' insurance fraud spree, linking Holmes to their murders.
Kids?
Police arrested him, and he was convicted of their murders. He was also confessed to 28 other murders. However, through investigation and missing person reports, it is believed that Holmes is responsible for up to 200 murders.
Wow. Holy
crap.
That is crazy.
So,
this, holy cow.
What a freak.
Dude, read some of those stats about the murder house. That's crazy right there.
All right, here. So, there were 51 doorways that opened to brick walls, 100 windowless rooms, stairways leading to nowhere. In the hotel, there were many staircases that were dead ends. He also had two furnaces and as well as vats of acid. And bottles of various poisons, along with a stretching rack. We already knew that.
Dude, that's crazy. I mean, from the pictures, it doesn't look like it's that big of a building to have 100 windowless rooms. But I guess that's right? Just counting for the rooms in the middle of the building.
How many levels was it?
Well, yeah, because look at that. Three. Like, you got a ton of these little tiny rooms, too. And it's three levels, and if they all look like this?
Yeah.
That still doesn't seem like
tiny,
enough.
Weird, tiny hallways. How does that work up there? Like... Those doors are like that.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Asphyxiation chambers, the maze, trap doors.
That's still, that guy. It's still even crazy that
the separate crews. I mean, I would imagine someone picked up on that.
That's what I was thinking too.
Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what's going on.
I mean, you got a stairway going somewhere. They're like, oh, he's like, oh, I want a floor over that. He's like, but there's a stairway. Yeah, I screwed up. We'll just get rid of that later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't make sense.
Well, they noticed, you know, they noticed all the missing people. Like, 50 of the, there's a long list of missing people, 50 of which stayed at his hotel.
Well, and I'm also curious how, things. I mean, I don't know how it took the insurance policy people so long to see that there was a trend that he was always the beneficiary.
Yeah.
Unless he was going through different agencies.
It's not like, I don't think they linked together.
Yeah. And how many agencies were there back in 1890?
You know, insurance is one hell of a game that people like to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Probably not very many, though. You're right.
Because how it says, population's lower. Fiancés, wives, even employees. It's like, it sounds like it was quite a few people. Like you said, Austin, it's like, how many insurances are out there? And I don't know.
They were part of it. They were like, okay, you give me a cut every time.
It was probably all independent insurance companies. So
there were numerous.
That's gross. Numerous?
Yeah. I mean,
well, it wasn't until he tried to fake his own death that they were like, hold on a minute.
Yeah. Well, and you got different aliases, different names. Like,
he could shave his mustache, grow back, shave it again.
Put on a hat, take off a hat. So, but it was the horses that did him in, huh?
It's always something dumb.
Yeah, it is. It really is always something funny. Stupid. Because that's all it did, is that the horses got him sent to jail, and then he got out of jail, and then ended up having a warrant out for his arrest on that.
Because did we talk about it this podcast or the last one where that one guy was messing with the Jumbotron and got caught for a bunch of stuff?
Last podcast.
Yes. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he had nothing to do with his other crimes.
Yeah.
But he did something silly and dumb, and he got caught, and then they're like, oh, hold on, you're a freak.
Yep.
Yeah.
Here's 200 years.
On May 7th, 1896, Holmes was actually hanged at Moyamensing Prison for the murder of Pitesell. It's ultimately what did him in, was the murder of Pitesell and his children.
Oh, really? My gosh. Mm-hmm.
Until the moment of his death, Holmes remained calm and amiable, showing very few signs of fear, anxiety, and depression. Despite this, he asked for his coffin to be contained in concrete and buried 10 feet deep, because he was concerned grave robbers would steal his body and use it for dissection.
Yeah. It should have been.
Here's the best part, though. Holmes' neck did not break, and instead he strangled to death slowly, twitching for over 15 minutes before being pronounced dead.
Deserved.
Yep.
Well deserved. Deserved more, to be honest.
It was believed, though, that the person hanged was actually not H.H. Holmes, and he escaped from that point on. So in 2017, during allegations, Holmes had escaped execution. Holmes' body was exhumed for testing by Janet Monge of the University of Pennsylvania Museum in Archaeology and Anthropology. Due to his coffin being contained in concrete, his body was found to not have decomposed normally. His clothes were almost perfectly preserved, and his mustache was found to be intact.
Oh, my gosh.
The body was positively identified by his teeth as being that of Holmes.
Oh.
He was then reburied.
So, hold on. Why do people that perform such heinous acts get any death wish?
Right?
What? Why would they
bury me in cement? No, I'm going to put you in a normal grave. And
how would Gen Z say
no,
that?
I'm going to do the thing you're afraid of happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to the college.
The best revenge is not to be like
your enemies.
Yeah.
I'm petty.
Very true, fam.
I would bury him 1 foot deep and say, here's his location.
With a shovel next to
him. Yeah. Yeah.
Have at it. Dissection party happening here.
Gross. Yeah. That's revenge is being true to yourself and not being a copy of your haters.
Yeah. Is that Marcus Aurelius?
What would his name be now?
That's Marco Z. Rice.
Marks us.
You can go.
I love it.
You can keep talking. Don't pay attention to me.
I was going
to
say, are we back on the last podcast again?
Heck no.
This is where it gets fun.
Oh, okay.
This is where we're going to go into details of the murders.
Oh.
So.
Here comes the heavy.
Yeah, here comes the heavy.
Okay.
So I got to go home.
Well, real quick, because I'm just curious, how does a person afford the mansion that he built, the castle? Yeah.
Because of all the defrauding he was doing here.
But
yeah, because
apparently
of the defrauding and the,
he hadn't been doing that before.
Yeah, he just spent all that money on that pharmacy. Right?
Well, he
so how
he
did
made
he,
all the money on the pharmacy.
Well, he got the money from the pharmacy. He was doing the defrauding before in
right.
where he had lived before in medical college.
But you said the disappeared, but he still bought the pharmacy. Or did he just take
no,
the pharmacy?
No, he persuaded the widow to give him the pharmacy.
Oh, I thought you said sell him the pharmacy.
No.
So he sold the pharmacy and then built this.
Either
Murder
that
castle.
Or he just used
he
the funds
continued
from the
to
pharmacy,
run it.
Continued to run it and built this place across.
Because he bought the lot across the street from the pharmacy.
Yeah.
And
interesting.
See, that's what's wild is like even the what? Pharmacy.
What are you doing?
Trying to get Chad GPT
Give
to
me
just
a
spit out a number. I was
what?
Like, I was like,
take a guess.
How much did H.H. Holmes' castle cost to build? And it's like the exact cost of construction on the Holmes castle, as detailed financial records or receipts for its construction expenses are not available. It's difficult. It's uncertain. Basically, going through all these things, it would have been a large cost, but I can't tell you. And I was like, take a guess. And it's like, while it's difficult to provide an accurate estimate without detailed records concerning the scale and complexity, as well as the specialized features such as the secret passages and gas chambers, it's possible the building of the Murder Castle would have cost several thousand dollars in late 19th century. And I was like, give me a ballpark. Like, oh,
break it. Break it.
It might fall within the range of tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
$100,000.
Like his victims. Like his victims. 8 and 200.
Yep.
200.
Yep.
Wow.
How much is $100,000 back in 1886?
I don't know.
Today?
Ask Cam.
That's what I'm
saying. Wait, what was it?
How much is $100,000 compared to today? What's the...
Fuck, dude, it'd be astronomical.
What's the...
Several millions, right? Tens
oh,
of millions.
It would have to be. If not more.
That's... yeah.
How much is $100,000 from 1886
Give me a ballpark.
Worth today?
Gosh. It doesn't want you to know.
Do your money changes to the... I don't care.
According equivalent to several million dollars in today's money.
Yeah. Give me a ballpark. No, just kidding. Give me an exact number. Number.
It understands.
Yeah.
$2.9 million.
$2.9 million?
That's actually not that much.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
To build a hotel?
Dude, that's most houses in Kaysville now.
You're not too far off, man.
To build a three-story building the size of a city block. I mean, that's...
In downtown Chicago?
That means that it's wrong. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
All right, so presumed murders.
Oh, gosh. I'm trying to delay.
I knew what you were doing. Ain't happening. So this kind of gives you an idea of the things that he did.
Oh, gosh. Here we
and
go.
The things that went on with this guy.
The going-ons.
Yes, the going-ons. So Holmes's mistress, 31-year-old Julia Smith, was the wife of Dr. Lawrence Aecilius, or Ned Connor, who had moved into Holmes' building and began working at his pharmacy's jewelry counter.
Jewelry.
Thank you.
Words are hard.
Yep.
They are.
After Connor found out about Smith's affair with Holmes, he quit his job and moved away, leaving Smith and their 5-year-old daughter, Pearl Connor, behind. Smith gained custody of Pearl and remained at the hotel, continuing a relationship with Holmes. Julia and Pearl both disappeared on Christmas Eve of 1891. Holmes initially claimed to acquaintances that Julia had left unexpectedly to visit her dying sister, but then changed the story and said that she had fled her former husband. Ultimately, Holmes later claimed that Julia had actually died during an abortion. Despite his medical background, Holmes was unlikely to be experienced in carrying out abortions, and mortality from such a procedure was high at the time. Holmes then claimed to have poisoned Pearl, likely to hide the circumstances of her mother's death. A partial skeleton boss, possibly of a child around Pearl's age, was found when excavating Holmes' cellar. Pearl's father was a key witness of Holmes' trial in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
So
fun.
Yeah.
What a freak.
Well, that was fun.
23-year-old Emmeline Sigrand began working in Holmes' building in May 1892.
So she was an employee.
Yes. And worked for him for 6 months. Holmes reportedly hired Sigrand as a secretary due to her connection to a doctor who peddled a vaccine that allegedly cured alcoholism.
Oh, man.
Be great. Those who saw Sigrand in the weeks before her disappearance noted that she appeared to have lost interest in Holmes and their relationship. Sigrand was last seen in December 1892. Her parents were informed that she had left to marry a man named Robert Phelps. Authorities hypothesized that she had gotten pregnant by Holmes, possibly being a victim of another failed abortion that Holmes tried to cover up. Her empty luggage trunk was sent back to her mother in Anderson, Indiana. Her skeleton was found by police at the home of a Chicago physician with the help of M.G. Chappelle, who admitted having acculated 3 skeletons from H.H. Holmes.
Oh, wow.
Jeez.
So far, pretty dark.
Mm-hmm. He's a demon.
To remind you, these are just presumed murders.
Presumed?
Yes.
They have a skeleton.
Still can't trace it back to Holmes.
Not in that time.
Presumed victims.
Yes.
They were murdered, but they were presumed victims.
Yes. Sorry, yeah.
Is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Early 1893, a 24-year-old one-time actress named Wilhelmina Minnie Williams moved to Chicago. Holmes claimed to have met her in the employment office, though it is believed that he had actually met her in Boston several years earlier while he was then going by the alias Harry Gordon. Holmes offered her a job at the hotel as a personal stenographer, and she accepted. Holmes persuaded Williams to transfer the deed of her property in Fort Worth, Texas, to a man named Alexander Bond, which was an alias of Holmes. In April 1893, Williams transferred the deed, with Holmes serving as the notary. Holmes later signed the deed over to Pitesell, giving him the alias Benton T. Lyman. The following month, Holmes and Williams, presenting themselves as husband and wife, rented an apartment in Chicago's Lincoln Park. Minnie's younger sister, 18-year-old Anna Nanny Williams, came to visit, and on July 5th, 1893, she wrote to her aunt, and she planned to accompany Brother Harry to Europe. In it, she signed off with the message, "Brother Harry," which is Holmes, says you need never trouble any more about me, financially or otherwise. He and sister will see to me. I hope our hard days are over. Neither Minnie nor Nanny were ever seen alive again, and Holmes would subsequently use Minnie's name in future scams.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. So it's like he's mostly a con artist that had no boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah. These two, Minnie and Nanny, basically wrote to the family saying, "We're moving to Europe. Don't worry about us. We'll be great financially.
Please don't write."
Yep.
Or he wrote Peace those
out.
Letters.
Or he wrote them, yeah. Peace out. See you later. And then they're never heard of ever
and that
again.
That was where the Texas thing came in.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
I just don't understand why everyone's so willing to just sign over stuff to him so quickly. Like, how does he?
See, and
he had a con artist, man.
Yeah, and it explains, too, apparently he had many aliases. So that also doesn't help with the insurance companies. If he's going by 3, 4, 5, 6 different names, like, and you go through maybe 10 different insurance companies.
When was Social Security numbers invented?
How many aliases did he have exactly? Do you know?
That I'm not 100% positive. Cam might be able to find that real quick.
What was your question?
I wonder how many aliases he had.
I was going to look that up. 1935 is when Social Security came into play.
So there you go. With Roosevelt.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So you just had to have an alias.
Where's it now?
Where's what now?
The Social Security.
In the toilet.
Oh, the money? It's gone.
It's gone. It's all
spent. Oh, geez. He had at least 8.
8. There you go.
8?
But they're all very similar.
Henry
Dr.
Holmes.
Henry Howard Holmes, Henry Holmes, Dr. Henry Holmes. These are just the same name.
H.H. Holmes, H.H. Holmes, M.D.
H.M. Howard,
Alexander Bond.
Alexander H. Holmes. He wasn't very original.
Guess you didn't need to. Can't imagine the education system was very strong back then.
Well, it says it's possible that he used additional false identities during his criminal activities.
Huh. Holmes' adeptness at assuming different personas contributed to his ability to perpetuate frauds and evade capture for an extended period.
He was adept.
Adept. At lockpicking.
So, those ones were his presumed murders, the ones that they could probably tell you that Holmes did
it. He definitely did.
Yeah. These next ones are just suspected. With happenstance and everything going around, it's likely that he did, but again, there's just no proof. You got a 68-year-old creditor of Holmes named John DeBriel, died of a...
How do you say that word? Apoplexy?
Apoplexy? Apoplexy?
I don't know what that is.
Apoplexy. Yeah.
Cam, search it up.
How do you spell it?
APOPLEXY. This is great.
Why haven't we had ChatGPT right? up?
Everywhere? I don't know. I honestly don't know. This is great.
Sudden loss of consciousness.
Epilepsy?
By paralysis or other systems.
Weird.
Anyways,
resulting
okay.
from a stroke or cerebral hemorrhage.
Oh, okay.
So he died of that in April 17, 1891.
So your brain goes, pop.
In the...
That's terrible.
Oh, my gosh.
So he dies in the Castle Drugstore. DuBriel collapsed and died shortly after Holmes poured a black liquid down his throat. According to a witness, foul play was not suspected.
What?
I know, right?
He held him down and force-fed him this black goo.
He tried saving him.
But then he just died randomly. Has nothing to do with it.
It was motor oil.
4 years oil. Later, in 1895, it was determined that DuBriel's life had been insured and that Holmes had profited from his
death. Oh, thank goodness.
Jeez.
How much money do you think he garnished from all this?
Somewhere from tens of thousands to over 100,000, according to ChatGPT.
Oh, you looked it up?
Yeah, I did.
In 1891 as well, Emily Van Tassel disappeared after working at Holmes' drugstore. Holmes spoke of her in his confession in 1897. Tassel's name was cited as in a list of suspected victims, and Tassel's mother believes she was a possible victim.
This isn't near as dark as I was thinking. I thought you were going to go into like details about like the actions he performed.
He inserted the knife 3 inches above the solar plexus.
More I was getting after like the fact that he was killing children.
Oh, yeah, that was
and
heavy.
Just didn't care. Like the first victim we
he
talked
had no
about.
Moral compass.
The fact that he was so desensitized to it, like he didn't even care about his own death.
Yeah,
I think.
But he didn't want to be dismembered.
Like it said, the fact that his drive was greed is, I think, what gave him no boundary.
Yeah.
Like other serial killers, I feel like they had a certain
tick.
tick. Like yeah. Something about the people they were killing that.
Yeah. So which is worse?
I would say greed, because greed is everywhere.
Greed or murder? Yeah.
Like what's worse, the worst motivator in a serial killer? Greed like him, where it's like he doesn't care who he's hurting because he's trying to, make gain. Or someone who's just
I would say
such a freak.
I think the only other thing next to, for fun.
One's more creepy. Well, like Insidious.
Yeah. Here's the thing you can save your life if it's greed.
Nefarious.
Because if you're not willing to give him what he wants, as far as the greed goes, you're not willing to sign over your fortunes to him, he's going to probably let you go.
One's a creep and one's an asshole. They're both just jerks.
There you go.
They're in the same crayon box.
Whereas the other one, you've got no guarantee, like Dahmer. And creep. Yeah. And Bundy.
Creep.
Like, there's no guarantee that you meet him and you come across him, you're probably going to die.
Speaking of...
Well, but only if you met his standards.
Requirements. Yes. Like, blonde.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
So, like true. Cam's saying, though, if there was a serial killer that they're just bloodlust, then I would say that's probably the worst. Someone who, like, thinks of themselves almost godlike, that it's like, I'm just going to go around and just kill everybody because I can. Like, I feel like that would be the worst.
Just melt the crayons.
Yeah.
Get them out.
Melt all the crayons.
Did you guys see that video recently? I can't remember if it was in our group or not, of the dude that was eating a human leg.
Yes.
Yeah.
Creepy.
That he got from a train track or whatever. That.
Like somebody
lost on the train track. Like the head gang guy from, what is that, Honduras or whatever it is. No, what is
the Haitian cannibal clans that are running around?
Well, there's a dude. Yeah, he's like the leader. They took over Haiti, I think. Yeah.
There's roaming bands of cannibals that are taking over Haiti.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
One of them's like his nickname's the Butcher or something. I was like, that's fitting.
That's pretty spot on, don't you think?
On a similar note, did you see the funny clip of the CNN investigator or a person who went to go do a documentary on a group of...
Yes. What?
It's like a tribe of cannibals. Yeah, a tribe of cannibals, and he's there trying to interview them.
And they're getting mad.
And the one guy just gets, you can see it in his eyes, he's starting to get irate that he's talking so much. And he's just like, I will kill you! And he's like, you know, just yelling at him, and you could see the fear hit the reporter's eyes. And he's like, get me out of here.
I think he calls over his camera crew and he's like, I think we need to go.
But weren't they trying to be like, just stay, like, just finish the...
Well, it's rude to leave early.
Well, did you see the video of the 19-year-old kid that his parents found the hand and the head of the homeless guy in his bedroom?
Oh, dude, that sent shivers down my spine.
Yeah.
That was just barely. Like, this is... I'm glad.
I need to learn more about that. I want to know what else happened.
Because I heard the 911 call, the mom, and she's like, I just found something horrible in my son's room. And the dispatcher's like, okay. What? And she's like, it was in a plastic bag. I think it's a human head. And you can just hear the dispatcher go, what? Like, just that, like, dumbfoundedness. And
just the instant.
So the name of that leader... Yeah. Is barbecue.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
Barbecue. Yes.
Wow.
What?
It's metaphorical.
Gang leader named Barbecue is now the most powerful man in Haiti as U.S. evacuates Americans.
Barbecue.
I feel like that's taser face. What do you shoot tasers out of your face? It's metaphorical.
Oh, my gosh. It comes from his penchant for setting his victims on fire.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
That's not funny anymore. Okay, back to H.H. Holmes.
Yeah.
Wow, somehow we went dark.
Yeah.
Went from funny to freaking idiots.
To not anymore.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. No, with that kid, though, that you were talking about where this mom found the...
What was I talking about?
Yeah.
Dude, that was... Huh?
I was talking.
You haven't seen any of that, and I'm happy.
So... There was
see it. They just—it's just weird.
The murder podcast I listened to, like, the sad thing is that's not uncommon for things to happen. You know, what I mean? Like the murder podcast I listened to. You know how many times like it's been, parents go into their kids' room cleaning it up and they just find a body.
Oh my gosh.
Like there was one where a little girl went missing and they were, everybody around the neighborhood was looking for her, even this kid. And the mom went in one day and saw like he had a waterbed or whatever. And a piece of the waterbed was like mislodged. And she like went to go fix it and it fell down and a weird stench came out. I think
you've talked about this before. Yeah.
And she ended up looking in there and the body of the little girl was just right there.
In the waterbed.
Not in the waterbed, but underneath it, like kind of shoved back.
Didn't you talk about this on a podcast before?
Yeah, that's so gross. Sounds familiar.
I hate it. Man.
So, and then.
Or this is the most messed up I've ever had. One or the other.
Well, and then there was another one where I just actually listened to this one the other day where, crap, my mind just totally went blank. That was good. Weird.
That was God going, no.
Stop.
Nope.
We're you're done.
You need to stop listening to them podcasts.
Enough.
It's changing you. I tried listening to one, that sword and scale.
Sword and scale, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Some of them weren't too bad, and they were interesting.
No, they get very bad.
But then there were some that I was like, oh, my gosh. Like, it just...
Then you turned it off like a TV.
Yeah.
Yeah. Click it off. Click it off.
It's not working.
The clicker's not clicking.
But anyways, like it's surprising at how many people like they've only committed one murder, but how it's been done, it's so more to me, gosh. it's more atrocious than someone like this.
Really?
Yes.
See, well, and I here's the thing. All of it just makes my
like
stomach
it's
turn.
It's all atrocious. Like it's all horrible, but it's like some of these kids nowadays, like they're just I don't know.
Intrusive thoughts. I just supercalifragilisticexpialidocious came to mind as soon as you said that.
What?
Atrocious.
Yeah. Something quite atrocious.
So, but what I was gonna say is
why?
Sorry. Go ahead.
No. It's just. It's all just so, I hate it all so much, but at the same time, like as a father, I think we talked about this earlier. I almost have to force myself to listen to these dark stories
to
remind myself that it's not rainbows and butterflies.
Oh
out
yeah.
There.
Yeah.
And I need
could literally be your neighbor.
Yeah. And it makes me think inward and like how much more of a protector I need to be. And I need to be more cautious and because it's just, you just never know.
Yeah, and how long before that consumes you though?
Mm-hmm. And you feel balanced. I don't need a lot of it, but I just need a reminder.
You need to know it's there.
I need to know that the evil's out there.
To not put like a stir on anything. Like when we were up in our old house in North Ogden, like even now when these girls will go to school
your neighbors?
Up here.
Oh.
No. Going to school up there, like when our old house, the girls were to not walk home alone. Like,
yeah,
you find a group of friends to walk with. And if you cannot, you call grandma, grandpa, mom, dad, whoever, someone will come get you. That was the thing. And I'm glad that we instilled that rule because in the last year alone, there has been 3 attempted kidnappings
I've seen
in
that.
North Ogden alone.
Really?
Have they seen that?
Confirmed?
Yes. They are confirmed that it has been a man who goes up to these kids and says, like, one of them, like, literally tried to grab the girl. She kicked and screamed.
I remember that one.
Got loose and ran away. There was another one where, I can't remember what it was. It was right around the same time. The guy just asked questions, hey, get in my car. And then there was one just recently about maybe 2 months ago. Where there was a kid outside playing and the guy went up and basically like asked questions, tried to grab the kid and the kid ran away. Car drove off.
Really?
Like this is 3 in the last year just in North Ogden alone where I grew up there my entire life and that is like unheard of.
Yeah.
It's the same guy?
That I don't know. I didn't read into that.
Have they arrested anybody?
No.
Freak.
No.
That's what's the worst part.
I know. And this is how... brazen that these guys are all getting.
Here's the way that here's how I think of it. Statistically, we're supposed to be in the safest time right now. When we were kids, we were just going wherever. Mm-hmm. But like the stats show that we're in like the safest time ever, right? So it's like my brain goes, yeah, I'm still cautious, but I don't want my kid to be like
I want them to be aware. Paranoid. They need to be. Yeah, I don't want them living in fear.
You want them to be spatially aware. They need to be aware
of their surroundings, and they need to understand that if something happens,
see,
they need
be
to
able
do
to see the things that are
away.
Off.
So, do you tell them, you know, walk in groups because you might get kidnapped? No, how about you all just stay in groups so that way everybody's okay? Like, teach them like that.
Just look out.
Somebody's
going
to grab you from under the bush. You know what I mean?
They might.
I don't want my kids to be in fear all the
time.
No,
that's my girls asked me, and I was just straight up honest with them. I just said, you know, I said, it's more safe. And I said, I just told him flat. I said, I just don't want you guys walking home alone.
Just tell them wolves hunting
you
packs.
Could even use the example of, you know, a car
and they're the
seeing
wolves.
A pedestrian. Well, a like car, a car driving down the street is more likely to see a group of kids than a single kid as far as getting hit by a car or something. So it's like, it's just for safety overall.
Yeah.
Right.
It's for safety overall. And I mean, we were, you know, as honest as we could be with the kids too. Like we did tell them like, hey, some of the times there's creepers out there.
I was like,
that doesn't mean it's ever going to happen to you. But I was like, it's just better safe to be with a group of people. In all circumstances, it's always safe to be with a group of people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Especially at your age.
Right.
Yeah,
I still get nervous when I'm alone with Jenny. Like,
is she a predator?
Why? Are you getting pregnant again?
The remainder of these are just all happenstances. Basically, they had all worked with him and then just went missing. There was this guy named Dr. Rustler. He had had an office in the castle, went missing. Holmes confessed to killing him. Let's see. There was Harry Walker. Went missing in November 1893, alleged that to have insurance, insured his life to Holmes for $20,000. He ended up going missing. There was another guy named George Thomas that Holmes and Pitezel took to the Mississippi swamp in June of 1894, killed him and disposed of his body. He actually confessed that murder to a second wife. There was Milford Cole. She disappeared after receiving a telegram from Holmes to come to Chicago. There was another person, Lucy Burbank. Her bank book was actually found with human hair in a chimney flue at the castle.
Oh my God.
And then there was another allegedly, in his confessions, he had claimed that he'd killed two people in Lake County, Illinois. They couldn't really confirm it until 1919 when 23 years after his execution, they actually found remains of an unknown man and unknown woman. They could never figure out where they came from, but they suspect that was Holmes as well. So,
well, I mean,
the biggest thing is too, is out of it. I mean, just to think how morbid and disgusting he is. When they went and searched the basement, there was so much decomposed bodies that they could not verify.
There's nine or whatever the first number. There's eight.
There's eight. No, they couldn't verify.
So much.
That's why they said it's either from like, because they can verify at least nine, but there could be up to 200. They were like, it's just, there's
well,
because
I think
so
that
much.
Aligns with like a lot of the missing people from that time.
Yeah. Yeah. You got the 50 people who went missing at that time. You got his presumed ones, his workers. So.
Jeez.
Ugh. But.
It's amazing what he got away with. Like, just hearing his story, just...
Dude, that's sad thing,
so
like...
So crazy.
Well, again, he was the first serial killer. Like, so I think another thing that happens is people get trapped in that mind of, like, oh, this wouldn't happen here. There's no way this could happen here.
Right.
And so the signs they do see, they push under the rug because they don't want to believe that it's real.
It's a land of opportunity.
And there's literally they were at a massive fair, like
living the dream.
That's what America's for.
Capitalism.
To go back on the kid thing and teaching your kids and being vigilant, I tried to find what the saying was and I can't find it quickly, but basically there was when we grew up, we were all taught stranger danger, right?
Mm-hmm. Like, right.
But the fact of the matter is not all strangers are dangerous.
matter of fact, a lot of them are going to be extremely helpful.
Yes.
And so there's a thing kind of going around right now where it's like, yes, that's it. Strange behavior. It's not stranger danger. It's strange behavior. Mm-hmm. So know the warning signs and like the mm-hmm. flags and like, hey, if someone's doing this, this is weird. This is a strange behavior. Teach them the strange behaviors and be aware of those so that they can get help from someone who is a stranger, mm-hmm. but to be cautious of those having strange behavior.
And I've heard a lot of stories too nowadays where that's how a lot of some of the times these people get caught. Is they start acting weird. They start doing weird things. Mm-hmm. People get suspicious and they turn them in.
Yeah.
Like, or they go talk to the right person and end up getting turned in or whatever. But
yeah.
Because no one in their right mind realistically is going to obviously try anything.
Come up and try to have you get in their van.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They can act as nice as possible, but there's going to be a tick about them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even kids are going to see it. Like, kids have that intuition for sure.
Have you seen that reel? I don't know who does it. It's the guy, people always end up like remaking them or whatever. But it's the one of the little kid talking to the dad.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
and
the
dad's like, now what happens if you go outside and a white van pulls up?
I get in it.
No. You don't get in it.
Okay, don't get in it.
Yeah, right. Don't get in it.
But what if he has candy?
He offers me the Reese's. You don't get in it, but I really like Reese's.
That one's funny.
That guy's way funny.
Alden, it was always just like, if somebody tells you to do something that you know mom and dad have told you not to do, I said, that's probably a bad sign.
Yeah.
Like, if we say, come straight home, like, oh, it's okay. I will give you a ride home. I was like, no, you walk home. I go, if anybody ever wants you to mm-hmm. do anything that you know that we were against or, like, we didn't ask you to do, probably shouldn't do it.
Well, that's I told my kids, too. I was like, even if it's just around the house, I flat out told them. I said, if you, and this was before, like, this was our old house. Now there's so many windows at our new house that they can tell who's at the door. But at our old house, it was really kind of a little bit more difficult to tell. And I told them, I said, if someone is knocking on the door, don't answer it when we're not home. And they were like, well, why? What if it's grandma and grandpa? And I said, grandma and grandpa have access to the house. They know how to get in. They will not be coming and knocking on the door. I could have killed my kids one time because a freaking door-to-door salesman showed up and knocked on the door, and they opened it up and went outside and started talking to him. I fell asleep on my bed, and I got a phone call from the neighbor. Hey, there's some weird guy out here talking to your kids. I'm like, what the hell? And I go run it out. And then I even yelled at the guy. I was like, dude, what are you doing, man? You're out here talking to a bunch of kids. Well, I needed to talk to you about something. And like, it ended up being like my brother had told him to come up and talk with us and stuff. And he's like,
that's still odd that he would just linger.
I know. Yeah. It was like he was lingering.
Like, your first question is, are your parents here?
Right.
And if they're no, you're like, have a good day.
Yeah. Or my dad's here, but he's
no money.
But he's sleeping or something. Oh, I got so mad at my kids, and I said, what was our number one rule? Well, we just
It was vacuum cleaners. Like,
bro, that Kirby, I do want one.
No, rainbow's better. I felt for both of them.
Hey, if you got the rainbow, I'll take the Kirby. I knew that you had a Kirby.
I knew the Kirby. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Kirby
and
broken.
And that
awesome.
Shall be a reel. Well, that was fantastic.
Why is it most of our reels are Chris?
Because it's the most random shit. Chris. It's just out of left
field. The best part.
So,
man.
With that,
it was a hard left turn.
We'll put a pin
lesson.
In it. So,
to pop it or to place it?
To place it.
Oh, okay.
Yep. So, just remember, if you guys have kids at home, just make sure that they're safe.
Look at that.
That's
the murder podcast turned positive.
It did.
Make sure they're not vigilant. Make sure they're not skinning squirrels either.
Yep. That. That is.
There's our hashtag, skinning squirrels.
Mice are okay. They're bastards. I hate those little things.
Dude, I don't know, man.
Dude, I had a friend in Colorado.
It starts with the animals, and that's where you get concerned.
Mice aren't even an animal. They're a varmint. Squirrels are cute. Like, they're
adorable. Little devils.
You know, I'm not going to lie, man. If I came over to your house and I saw, like, Alden stepping on mouses and breaking their necks, I'd be like, dude, Chris, there's something wrong with you.
I'd be like, dude, I taught him how to kill him.
Check your son. Like,
instead of buying a cat, I taught my son.
Lifting up boards, stomping them. Keeps him out of the house.
Picking up the field mesh and bopping him on the head.
Hey, it's a. I taught my kids that song.
Little bunny. You know they don't sing that anymore? Because it's violent.
Violent?
Oh, my.
Yeah. Whatever. I always imagine you pick him up and you're just like, foo-foo. Bad. And then you put him down.
You don't that's say decking him in the head. What's you're bopping him.
Little bunny foo foo hopping through the forest, scooping up the field mice and bopping him on the head.
Along came the good fairy, and this is what she said. Little bunny foo foo, I don't want to see you picking up the field mice and bopping them on the head. I'll give you 3 chances.
I've never heard this.
You've never heard that?
You know what? No. I was in the same boat as you about 6 months ago until he taught my kids this song.
Oh my
You're welcome.
Goodness.
I sing it on the school bus.
It's a song about a bunny just getting filled mice and hitting them on the head.
Because they're little buttholes.
Fair enough.
It's like bunny foo foo is a good one.
Stillness food.
Well, if your kids are killing mice, that's apparently a good thing. When they graduate from there and go to squirrels.
Humanely.
Oh, okay.
Just keep an eye out, okay? It's just strange behavior.
You've all seen movies. We know the signs.
It's true.
Yeah, we do.
Because movies are real.
They're more real than you think.
Predictive programming. That's a topic for another time.
Okay. All right. Thank you for being a part of this crowd. We love you guys. Thanks for being here with us. And hit that like and subscribe button. If this wasn't your cup of tea, there's always more.
Obviously it was if they made it this far.
Exactly. Yeah, that's very true.
Unless they start at the end for some weird reason.
Unless you guys got anything else, we'll see you next week.
All right.
See you soon.
Ciao.
Wow.
Love you guys.
He did it. He got him.
Got him.